from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Friday afternoon, it's Grant and Danny on the Fan, and it's Danny's birthday.
Yay!
Happy birthday, dude.
Thank you, buddy. 45 years old, gross.
We celebrated with the Italian store subs.
We sure did.
And a slice of pizza.
A side of the Sicilian pizza. You can get a lot of pizza a lot of places. I like the Italian store's pizza quite a bit myself, if I do say so. But I went off the beaten path a little bit. They're Sicilian, not quite Chicago-style, full-on deep dish. It's like that Detroit-style square. I think they do an excellent job of that, and it's a delicious side. Anything can be a side if you will it so.
Well, pizza can be a side.
Side of pizza.
It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You dialed up the right play. We scored a touchdown with the lunch order for Danny Rouillet's birthday. Welcome in to the program. Got a good one planned for you. Santana Moss is on the show coming up in 1 hour at 3 o'clock. We've got tickets we'll give away at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz to go see Jason Aldean. You got to be listening at that time. But a couple of things to get to right off the top, including the breaking news within the last half hour on the baseball front. What a scene. Monday night could be at Nationals Park. For the first time, Dylan Cruz and James Wood will be in the Nationals Major League lineup together. And Juan Soto and the Yankees are going to be in town.
How about it?
You can't write a better script than that. Now, they didn't get Cruz in the Soto deal, but they got Cruz by trading Soto and being terrible. By design, it's part of the rebuild. And for the first time, James Wood, the centerpiece, the linchpin of the Juan Soto package that came back, and Soto will be in the same ballpark. And then you add Dylan Cruz to that, and it could be a pretty magical evening at Nationals Park. But he's the number one prospect in the organization. He's an unequivocal top five prospect in the game. Cruz was the number two overall pick out of LSU, where he got on base on all 51 games in his final year of college, helping leading Paul Skeens and the Tigers to the College World Series. And after a productive, a solid, not dominant, but a good run in the minor leagues this year, where he showed off speed 25 bags, where he was exceptional in the outfield defensively, he can play center field well. Where he hits for power. He's got 4 homers in his last 11 games. Closing in on 15 for the season at the minors. He's done enough. He's impressed them enough. It's time to let Dylan Cruz debut. And according to our sources here at 106.7 The Fan, Monday night will be the night.
Two different stops in the minor leagues, AA and AAA. It's almost eerie how similar his stats are at the two levels. This tells me a big story about Dylan Cruz, to your point. It's like somebody throwing darts and trying to hit two bullseyes and getting really, really close. Two different levels. 274, 343 on base percentage, 789 OPS. 271, 343 on base percentage, 807 OPS. That was AA and AAA, respectively. So what it tells you is each level has not been too much for him. There's an initial adjustment period that takes place. This is how he was in college. Then, you know, as he progressed to the Golden Spikes winner, player of the year type stuff, it's what he's done at every minor league stop as well. He adjusts, gets comfortable, and starts to rise to the top. And he's doing that right now. I don't expect him to do what James Wood has done, where you walk into the major leagues and look like you are a 7-year veteran that's just signed a $40 million a year deal because that's freakish and rare and impossible. He'll go through it up and down a little bit, but nothing bothers that dude. He is unflappable. He is a he looks like he was born to be a major leaguer. You know what I mean? Just the way he carries himself, the tools. You mentioned some of the skill set. He'll be able to do a little bit of everything. I'm excited about it, man. It is your out-of-town preview in town, right? It's your look at the lineup. Look who's going to be going. You've got C.J. Abrams. You'll have James Wood. Now you'll have Dylan Cruz. Other guys from that trade are on the way, maybe taking a little bit longer than those. But that big group of three right there, hard to ignore, man. It's really cool.
He is right now, in my opinion, as a big leaguer, a 20-homer, 30-steal kind of player, which isn't nothing.
No.
I mean, the comp I've had for him all along, there's a few different guys you could look to, but do you know Brian Reynolds of the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's a player, not an MVP-type player by any means. I don't think Dylan Cruz is a guy that's going to win MVP awards. But Brian Reynolds is a multi-time All-Star who pretty consistently, year in and year out, strings together a 280 to 300 average. Now, he's been in 260s, 270s occasionally, but he's a career 280 hitter who's got an 825 career OPS, who goes out there and hits 20 to 25, maybe 27 home runs. And in the case of Dylan Cruz, I would add stolen bases to that. But that's kind of the type of player I see Dylan Cruz as. It's going to be a really good major leaguer. The guy that could win the MVP awards, ultimately, in my opinion, is still James Wood. He's the superstar. But they got some decisions to make, and over time they'll have to figure out, do they want Cruz to play center field? He's more valuable, in my opinion, in center field. You know, a 20-homer, 30-steal season as a center fielder is a much bigger deal than it would be in right field. I think he's good enough defensively to play above-average center. We've seen it in the minor leagues, those of us that track those games and watch those games on TV. Jacob Young's a platinum glove player, though. Love J.Y. There's probably not a better defensive center fielder in baseball this year, and the numbers bear that out. So, immediately, this season for sure, it'll be Wood in left, Young in center, Cruz in right. What they're going to have to kick around this offseason and figure out is, do they eventually want to move Cruz to center and go get a bat who hits a bunch of home runs to improve their offense, like an Anthony Santander type to play right field from Baltimore? Or do you go defense up the middle, play J.Y. there, let your kids play the corners with Wood, who's 21, Cruz, who's 22, grow into their own, not ask for them to play the middle of the outfield where both of them were very good at times in the minor leagues, and Cruz has recently been excellent? I think that's the big question for me long term, but I think you make a good point. Like, whereas Wood was so dominant at AAA that every single night he was putting together two hits and an extra base hit and three exit velocities over 100 and walking a ton, you just knew when he came up he had a chance to thrive. Cruz, it's been much more uneasy. There's more offers. It's more of a 265 than a 330 like Wood was. So I think the results are going to follow. It's going to be up and down a little bit, but he's the kind of guy, having had the college background he did at LSU, Danny,
yeah,
he's not going to crawl into the fetal position when he goes 1-for-15.
No, the makeup is plus, as they say. And again, what he's done at every level is struggle at the start, then figure it out. And he'll do that here. So, there'll be some speed bumps and some ups and downs, as you kind of said. But this is, I love this. The timing is really, really cool. Here at the end of August, before September, when, in tradition, you'd find that, let's empty the minor league system and everybody comes up and everyone gets a cup of coffee and, you get to hit white balls for batting practice that time. This is a little bit before that. So it feels pretty neat, more sizable, significant game now that you're playing the Yankees and Soto and company at home. It's hard to ignore the symbolism there. But the comp I've always had for Dylan Cruz, more for old heads, and they're different players. Molitor was an infielder. Paul Molitor, same size that, you don't look at him and go, oh, there's a dude that's going to blast the ball 450 feet, but it's the quick hands. It's a real good knowledge of the zone, sharp, quick, pretty good athlete there. And again, if he has Paul Molitor's career, I think we'll all certainly take that as a Hall of Famer, but I don't know that that's exactly where it is, but that's body-wise, and the way he swings has always kind of reminded me of that.
Remember, and now it's funny, that about a week ago I told you my daughter got upset at me that I was wearing my Cruz Wood 24 t-shirt too much?
Oh.
That's taken on a new meaning, that little story, huh? This might be a decent time to remind everybody that the 106.7 The Fan merch shop is open, and you can celebrate the call-up of James Wood still and the expected call-up of Dylan Cruz. Again, the report we've got for you here on The Fan is that the team is anticipating calling him up on Monday night, that he will make his major league debut against the Yankees. Juan Soto's back in D.C., and Cruz and Wood will be in the lineup together for the first time. Should be an awesome scene. But we've got those Cruz Wood 24 shirts available at the 106.7 The Fan merch store. You can get yours now at 106.7thefanshop.com. More on Dylan Cruz in just a bit. The other big news of the day in DC sports is that it is now official, like the Cruz expectation of knowing eventually he'd get called up. We now know it's happening. Jaden Daniels is not going to play on Sunday night.
Yeah.
This was the worst-kept secret probably in Commandersville over the last few days because it became pretty clear after they named him the starter that they weren't going to play him in this preseason finale. But for the first time, finally, on Friday here, Dan Quinn went public and said that Jaden Daniels' preseason is over.
Will QB1 play on Sunday?
He will not, Batman.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Batman?
I didn't quite get that part. But I'm going to choose.
Time I've actually heard that. Yeah. Play that again. I had not heard the Batman.
Yeah, I'm going to choose to take away the Jaden Daniels not playing part and just kind of blow right past that, if that's fine.
Will QB1 play on Sunday?
He will not, Batman.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot happening there. So we're not calling Jaden Daniels Jaden Daniels. We're calling him QB1.
Jaden Daniels.
That's our guy, Chick Hernandez, yep. By the way, Channel 9. We should throw that out there. And then there's a Batman. There's a Batman impression. Chick, where are you? You got to go, where is she? If you're going to do a Batman impression, that's what you got to do. If Dan Quinn's going to go full Batman on you, which, by the way, is Batman like a, is the, in the comics, is that like a Captain Obvious thing? Like, of course, Batman.
It's a throwback to the old timey, you know, Adam West Batman show, like back in the day. Like,
but did they used to say like,
yeah, like holy obvious conclusion, Batman. Like,
oh, that is
Robin used to do that bit. Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't know if Chick was Batman. Or if Jaden Daniels is Batman, I don't know who Batman was.
Who's Batman?
Man, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
That's actually, the more I listen to it, Chick's not a bad Batman impression there. But I need a, where is she? That's what I'm looking for.
Man, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
That's not terrible. Off the cuff?
Yeah, but again, I don't. Anyway.
You're over it, I think.
No, I'm too confused, and I have too many questions. Yeah. But I know we got to move forward.
It's your birthday. Whatever you want, man.
Jaden Daniels ain't playing on Sunday, right? That we knew. That made a lot of sense. That is the net. That's your takeaway. That's your Stone Cold Steve Austin bottom line.
So I'm gonna give you my thought on what I would do. Nobody cares about that, and then I care about that.
I'm interested. It's my birthday. Tell me.
What I would do is play Jaden Daniels in the third preseason game because I use football games to get ready for football. I don't think I would play every starter, but I would play the starting offensive line and Jaden Daniels for a quarter or so. That's what I would do. It was pretty clear they were not going to do that, and I understand that too. They feel like he got enough work. He played a total of 3 drives. God forbid you ask him to play 4 in 2024. We know how this goes. It's not just the Commanders, by the way. I'm not joning on them. They are doing what the league does. Players are paid a lot of money. These guys' health is really all that matters to the team. I understand that. They decide the juice is not worth the squeeze. So it's a little bit antiquated for me and a little bit football cowboy of me to want more constantly in the preseason. I mean, do you realize Daron Payne, John Allen, and Bobby Wagner did not play a single down in the preseason?
I realize that.
Now, Bobby Wagner's been in this defense. Allen and Payne have not. They obviously had a lot of practice work. They had the practices against the Jets and the Dolphins that were scrimmage-like. But Daniels is done. Would you have played him at all in this game?
No. I count as other deposits the joint practices where you actually got a lot of significant work, and that's the trend line. To me, and here's my little bit of antiquated thinking. If I'm going to play Jaden Daniels, it means I've got to play my entire starting offensive line for as long as he's in there. I need to play all of his best weapons because there aren't as many on the outside these days, which we'll get to as we go. So it means I've got to play Terry McLaurin. I probably don't want to do that. It means I have to give Brian Robinson more work. I don't want to do that. Eckler, I don't want to do that. I would probably try to get him some time on the grass with Zach Ertz, who you haven't really had much of. So in lieu of doing that, I will say, you know, we put in enough work. Now, the other thing I'd do differently, just so this doesn't get lost, is when we were pussyfooting around in the beginning, where he was splitting reps with Marcus Mariota, I don't do that. See, because I got in all my work, if Danny's in charge, I got extra work, extra practices, extra first-team reps all these weeks and months, I didn't sacrifice some of those out of some weird faux competition that wasn't real. So then I can go, I did put enough work. I'm not playing you my last preseason game.
Which I totally get. Yeah, I don't think a couple of drives or a quarter or two is going to make all the difference in the world. Or all of a sudden now you weren't ready and you are in some binary. Or you would have played badly in week one and now you're going to play great. I just think there's a limited number of chances to feel as good as possible about what you're going to be doing against the Bucs. And the amount of reps, if you want to call them that in practice, mental or physical, the amount of time on the grass, just the amount of prep that you get is less than it's ever been before. So to not take advantage of one of those golden opportunities as a potential dress rehearsal just isn't how I would do it. But the entire league almost, to a club, has gone away from that. Mm-hmm. Even the teams that are mostly going to be playing guys this weekend didn't play them in all three games. Some teams have. Like the Patriots is a good example. That's a bad team with a new head coach, which I guess you could say explains Washington's, you know, last calendar year or whatever as well. They're going to play Jacoby Brissett, their starting quarterback, for the third time in three preseason games. He didn't play as much as Jaden Daniels in the second one, but he's going to play in the third preseason game. Drake May, who's not a starter, will play in his third straight preseason game. It was drafted after Daniels. Is Caleb Williams going to play three times? I would doubt it. So I get that this is the standard operating procedure. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. It's also exactly what was expected. There's no reason to make a big deal of it. Daniels has put in a lot of work and has looked very good. Next stop, Tampa Bay. And he'll be fully healthy. You don't have to worry about that. He'll be 100% ready to go. He'll be on the field against the Bucs.
Two things. By the way, next stop, Tampa Bay. Holy crap.
Well, I got a text.
Here we are.
From somebody last night, actually, talking about the Monday night game in Cincinnati, which is on my mom's birthday, September 23rd. It's 1 month from today. That's the third game of the season. Or whatever. Maybe it's the second game.
No, it's week three, I think.
Week three.
Right?
So, like, think about just that. Like, yeah, we're a month away from that. Wait, I'm sorry. Say that again?
Say that again. One more time.
So, a month from now, they're going to have a record with three numbers. That's where we are now. That's just exciting.
Yeah.
That's hard not to really be fired up about.
And, you know, this last dress rehearsal where it's guys that are fighting for spots or fighting for playing time, fighting for rosters, whatever, are going to get a look. And the intrigue to me is what New England does at the quarterback spot. I think I heard Jacoby Brissett's going to start. You assume you're going to see multiple guys, including the person drafted right after Jaden Daniels, but I haven't seen any confirmation there. But one would assume is they still have stuff to work out. And they're in a different spot than Washington is. But in terms of the way I would handle the preseason and training camp and everything kind of in general, to me, I try to control as much of it as I can. I have the ghosts of Clinton Portis missing the whole season, of John Jansen breaking an ankle. Some of those things influence me to the point where I go, I just can't just trot him out there and see what happens for stuff that no one's going to remember, except for Larry Michael when he goes over preseason records to talk about intangibles or something years ago on their propaganda shows. That to me is, I just, juice is not worth the squeeze at that point. Again, we're all kind of colored by our experiences.
How would you grade Jaden Daniels' preseason? And I don't just mean preseason by the two preseason games. Training camp should be taken into account. I think everything that's led up to now, past being prologue, all of the draft to this moment content, information we have on Daniels, throw it into the stew. What grade do you give him on his prep for the regular season that we've seen? 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this next. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in? I'm Grant. Danny's the birthday boy. This is The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
G&D on the Fan. Welcome back and thank you for listening to our program as always. We told you right off the top today that the Nationals are calling up Dylan Cruz, their number one prospect for Monday night's game, according to 106.7 The Fan sourcing. One night, Nationals Park, Soto for the Yankees, Cruz and Wood in the lineup for the Nationals. Gonna be a blast. All of our baseball coverage on The Fan, by the way, is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. More on the Nats in just a bit. We have been talking, though, as well about the news today that Jaden Daniels officially will not play on Sunday's preseason finale. Now, Dan Quinn didn't go into any more detail or expound upon who else wasn't going to play. But it goes without saying, Danny, if Jaden Daniels is not playing, almost everyone who matters and starts will not play.
Yeah, you wouldn't think you'd see your established veterans. There aren't a ton on this roster that have been here for a while, but you start to add it up, some of the new guys. You're probably not going to see Allen, Payne, McLaurin, Wagner, Luvu, even some of the other starters now that have kind of been getting in some pretty good work here this summer and beyond, and the St. Juice of the world, or certainly wouldn't expect to see Zach Ertz or otherwise. So I think you're going to be down, quote unquote, a bunch of starters or regular contributors.
Do you think the young guys that are starters but still not proven play at all, like a Benjamin St. Juice, Emmanuel Forbes, those types of guys? Because you cannot convince me they don't need the work.
So here's where I'm going to go. How do I say it? I'm trying to think of that, formulate the way I'm going to say this. I think if they know, proven or otherwise, that you're going to be counted on right away and not working your way in, you're going to be out this weekend.
Then they're out. So those are your starting boundary corners.
I think Forbes will still might be in there because I think he's battling it out with whomever else, whether it's Michael Davis or some of the other guys for playing time. I don't know that they know there. I think they know about St. Juice. However good you think he is, that's their starter on one side probably.
What I'm fascinated by in the wake of the Jahan Dotson deal yesterday is now the wide receiver competition at the back of the roster, where if I had to put a bet in on who makes it as the fifth and sixth receiver, I would just roll with the veterans of Jamison Crowder and Byron Pringle, and it'd just be an ultimately like a redundant receiving room. Bunch of guys like Jamison Crowder that are older filling out the back of the depth chart. Mm-hmm. I'd like it to be a Bryson Tremaine, who's 6'4" and athletic and can make leaping catches and looked awesome on special teams. I would keep him in a second over Byron Pringle. I'd probably keep him over Jamison Crowder, if I have a return man on my roster I feel good about. You could convince me that somebody like Martavis Bryant now at 6'4" could make the roster if he's shown them anything in practice. We only saw him targeted down the field the once, and a pass was broken up in his preseason debut against the Dolphins, but I would think he's going to play a ton. That's what I'm fired up about. The receiving room behind McLaurin, Diami Brown, Alameda Zacchaeus, starting with Luke McCaffrey, Bryson Tremaine, on down. This game is all about that group, and yeah, probably at least two, if not three, spots up for grabs.
Just sort of doing some quick back of the napkin math, right? So here's my theory that I'm working on. I don't know if I've got this right or not. This is not based on anything. I think Jamison Crowder is going to make this team. I think Jamison Crowder is their punt returner. I don't think they've shown that yet, but I think that's what's going to happen. I almost view him as Alameda Zacchaeus' backup, right? So in other words, you'll be limited to slot duty. Maybe if somebody needs a quick rest on the outside, we'll do that. But for the most part, I think he's almost your backup slot receiver and number one punt returner, because I think they view Zacchaeus maybe as a bit more important than to have him go back there a bunch of times. So I think that's what's going to happen there. So now all of a sudden, there's five that you know about. McLaurin, Brown, Zacchaeus, Luke McCaffrey, Jamison Crowder. That sixth spot, to your point, if it is six, maybe it's seven, although I think you're going to run into a number crunch elsewhere.
It would be seven more likely if they didn't have a return man in the six, or in the five. Mm-hmm. And if you're saying Crowder's the return man, then now seventh makes less sense.
I agreed. So that's sixth, as you said. Kaz Allen, although we're calling him a running back now,
In the running back room, it sounds like.
But it's Mitchell Tinsley, it's Bryson Tremaine, it's Martavis Bryant, it's Byron Pringle. I mean, to me, Tremaine is the easy choice. But again, they don't think the way that we do. I go, I don't have anybody like that. There's nobody that is his size, looks like him, that's that big and physical. I need somebody like that, and I'm more interested in the unknown there than I am, with all due respect, to I've seen Byron Pringle. I have seen, Martavis Bryant over the course of the years in the league. That's not intriguing. That's not sexy. That's now for them. They see these guys every day and they don't care about the unknown. They're not as into development at this point. They're trying to do something here in terms of building culture and building something going forward. But for me, Tremaine is way more intriguing than those other guys.
You mentioned Kaz Allen. I want to go back to him quickly before we hit on Daniels. It may not matter what position he gets listed at. Running back or receiver.
Football bar.
Seventh receiver, fourth running back, who cares? Like, if there are six receivers and three backs, and they feel like they could have 10 at the two positions combined, then Kaz Allen could be the 10th guy, potentially. And I say that because it's very obvious they really, really like him. I was tweeting about this during the last preseason game, but when you start using a guy at a different position, and involving him to the extent that they did, giving him those carries, when you are designing screens for him in these preseason games, it's obvious they're trying to see what he does. You're not doing that because you don't like someone. You're not featuring someone. They have him returning kicks and punts. They have him at running back. They have him at receiver. They like him. Then he fumbles, and instead of being in the doghouse, he's right back on the field in practice. He's right back involved. They are trying to give him every opportunity to get a roster spot, at the least to be on this practice squad again. But it's obvious, and they've talked about this now publicly, Kingsbury yesterday, we've seen it though, whenever they've been asked about him, they think he is a multiple, versatile, explosive player. They're quick to say he's not Deebo Samuel, obviously. By the way, stand them next to each other.
Yeah, they make one of that guy.
It's like a DeVito Arnold thing from Twins, right? They look nothing alike. But the point is, there aren't that many guys that can do a little bit of everything as a gadget guy. And I don't know how well he does everything. He might do everything not that well. We're going to find that out. But I think they like his versatility and his explosiveness on a roster where there's just not a lot of that on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they're intrigued by him. But let's get to Daniels for a moment. Question when we went to break, and we asked you guys this, and we'll hit the phones on this. They're wide open at 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in right now. What would you grade Daniels since the day he was drafted, mm-hmm. and then if it's a different grade, just the two preseason games?
A- for me. The only negative was that entire weird, I either texted or faxed or screen capped or did something where I sent another player, even though he's my very good friend, something that we were doing in practice. I need you to not do that. I need my starting quarterback, who I love. And this didn't change that I loved him. Loved him before, during, and after. I'm a huge fan. That's a no. That's a good learning experience. It could have been a lot worse. Giving away state secrets like that, there's no reason to do that. I think we learned our lesson there. Of course, it hasn't happened again, and we move on. But that was the only kind of lapse in judgment. And if that's all we get from a young guy that's going to hopefully lead the franchise for a long, long, long time, that'll be a funny anecdote we tell. You know what I mean? Like 10 years from now. You remember that time that Jaden Daniels texted his buddy Brandon Ayuk, and they were on FaceTime talking about Washington's offense? Ha, ha, ha. We all had to share a good laugh about it later. That's the only blemish to me. Everything else, I feel like I'm going, if I had a daughter, please date her. You know, like this is the thing that I have wanted for some time. It's not the superstar when the lights come on. It's not the work it out for Instagram. It's doing what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to do it. Going above and beyond. Checking everything that you can do. Checking every box that you can check to try to be the best you can. You may not be, but I'll go down that way, rather than some of the part-time effort for show versus the real nose-to-the-grindstone effort.
Yeah, I'll give him an A-plus in the two preseason games based on executing what they asked him to execute.
Mm-hmm.
The degree of difficulty was low. That's not his problem. That's not his job. All he can do is, you want me to throw a screen? I'll throw a screen. He had one bad pass that I can remember legitimately. I mean, there were other incompletions. Like, he had an incompletion that was wide of Jahan Dotson and what'll be maybe Dotson's final target in Washington on a quick out route in the second preseason game. That wasn't a good pass. But the one pass that was like, ooh, was the first one he ever threw, was over top of Austin Eckler on the little running back screen, 800 miles an hour.
Targeted 96 on the outside, a little high and wide there.
Shot out of a cannon, yeah. Right? But for the most part, I mean, he batted like 995 with accuracy, ball placement, decision making. And yeah, you aced an easy quiz. It was the quiz you were given. He aced it. So I'll give him an A+ on the preseason. Kept the ball out of harm's way. Got it predetermined, pre-snap to the right guy. I think a lot of things were easy. They're going to get harder, but he crushed it. For the entire offseason, I give him an A as well. Because there have only been a couple times, like the picture that you referenced, where anything happened that was not completely the way you draw it up in central casting and when it's 72 and sunny. So the excitement level should be high. People should be very, very hopeful about this quarterback, but we just got to see it, man. We're in a medium where we talk all day long about everything that's going on in the moment. And we, as many different ways as possible over 4.5 hours, peel back different layers on the people that you guys find the most interesting and the most pressing angles about those individuals in DC sports. That's the medium. But to an extent, time's just got to elapse, and we got to get to a point where we can watch him in a real game play real football. Because the rest of the stuff now, that the hay is in the barn, doesn't mean there's not other ways to discuss excitement and to gauge interest and to try to get a feel for how fired up people are. But it became pretty obvious early in the preseason. They're not going to ask him to do a lot of the things that we need to see him do to figure out how good he's going to be until the real bullets are flying in September. So bring on September.
Indeed. Yeah, let's get that calendar turned. I think it's well put. For my own edification, this is for me, fan, Danny Ruye, watching at home. I want to see all the things just because I want to see them. You know, when you get the brand new sports car, but there's construction at the end of your little residential street, so you can't go out on the highway. You can't go 105 right now. You can drive to the end of the block and bring it back, and you still get some really cool stuff, and the speedometer goes up to 180, you know, and that sounds really neat. Cool. I can't do that yet. I got to go 20 and go over a speed hump. Bring it back to the driveway, and you can look at it, and it's really, really nice, but you have to wait until that construction's done.
Is a speed hump the same as a speed bump?
Yeah. I don't know when I started calling them speed humps.
Do you really call them that?
Not every time, but I have called them speed humps.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Do you have to do anything when you go over a speed hump, like yourself? Or do you just sit there?
Great question.
Yeah.
It
seems like there's a Wayne's World thing.
Well, you go back to the champagne room and you can't touch? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. It's just you just bounce up, but do you just sit in your seat, or what am I supposed to do with my hands?
I don't think you have to do anything. Okay. I think you just kind of ride it out.
The hump.
Yeah, the hump.
The speed pump.
Speed hump.
Okay. Grant and Danny,
great catch.
The fan. Thank you. Santana Moss is on the show at 3 o'clock, right at the top of the hour in 20 minutes. He was a big Jahan Dotson guy, weren't we all? What does he make of the trade and of this wide receiver room? We can go down through the list of wideouts he's been watching off and on at practice this summer and get his take. We will do that as we continue on G&D on the Fan. Danny, I'm sure you've heard this thing that the kids say now. I was today years old when I learned.
Oh, they love that bit.
Yeah. I was today years old when I learned speed bumps and speed humps are both real things.
I thought I was going crazy because I realized when you rightly called that out, because I called something a speed hump.
I just never heard it in my life.
My little soliloquy. And I'm like, I know I've seen that somewhere. I've been saying speed hump lately. And it's because it's true. There are speed humps all over the place, close to where we are in Northern Virginia. On the roads. So your speed bump is your parking lot. You're yellow. You got to be going like 3 or 4 miles an hour.
I feel like those are super tall.
Yeah, they're taller.
They're yellow. If you go over them fast, you're bottoming out.
It's like, dun, dun, like you hear it. It hits really hard. The speed hump, you can hit it about 15. That's probably your max. You probably want to be about 10 to 12.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Longer.
Longer.
Less girth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So yeah, but wider too somehow.
Also, yes.
You know what I mean?
Not as tall.
Right.
But, like, where they start and where they stop is definitely a wider...
And they're still both good. I mean, they're still both good and deserve happiness. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about the motion of the speed bump?
Right.
I thought you were just saying...
The wrong word.
Not even that you were wrong. I thought you just said it differently. Like, some families, some people... I'll give you an example. I've never heard this before, but this is a real thing that a lot of people say. So, when you hear something that... makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. You get...
goosebumps?
Right. There are people who say chill bumps.
No, they're not. No. That's not true.
100% they're
No, right. They're not.
Chill bumps?
No.
You've never heard of that?
No.
Well, I definitely
Where?
Have.
Where do they say that?
I think they're in the South. When I initially heard it, it was definitely a thing where people are like, with an accent.
Yeah, sure.
You know when I first heard it? This is actually a wacky story that makes no sense. So, years ago, I was doing a baseball show on Sirius XM, and I found this hilarious clip of these two kids calling Henry Aaron's record-breaking home run to move ahead of Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
It was home run number 716 or 715.
17, yeah.
I don't know if it was it must have been his record breaker, 715. And anyway, in their call, they said, he's got chill bumps. I still remember it. And I'm like, what in the hell did this
What is a chill
say?
Bump?
And then I looked it up, and sure enough, it's another way to say goosebumps. So that's...
Wow.
I didn't mean to blow your mind, but...
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that.
When you went...
speed hump.
Speed hump, I thought that was your speed bump.
Oh.
Like the Rouillets right. call them speed humps.
Yeah, like the southern side of my family's like, I was going a little too fast over that speed hump.
So I'm pulling it up here. Goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
Also known as chill bumps.
Come on!
That's what it says.
Also known as.
Are bumps like it's an on alias. The skin that occur when tiny muscles in the hair follicles contract and pull that hair up tight. Chill bumps.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm not going to be saying chill bumps anytime soon.
I don't know that I could.
That just sounds weird to me.
Like, I heard a Dylan Cruz is going to the show. I got chill bumps. Nope. Wrong.
I do kind of have goosebumps about that.
I'm excited about that, but I don't have any chill bumps.
Do
say that.
Do you think it's a strategic play in any way?
Yes.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
To have Dylan Cruz come up against the Yankees?
Yeah, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Juan Soto's back for the first time?
Uh-huh.
As a Yankee. Uh-huh. He's been back with the Padres, obviously. But it's the first time they've been far enough along in the rebuild where he's going to be in the ballpark and he sees MVP caliber star James Wood playing in left,
mm-hmm.
and now he's going to see Dylan Cruz, who could play center. In a hypothetical where Juan Soto, who's a free agent this offseason, could sign back in Washington to play right field, this could be a Mike Rizzo taking off his tie, unbuttoning his sleeves, and saying, hey, Juan, these could be the two guys you play with in the outfield for the next 12 years to end your career if you want to. You buying it at all?
Here's the thing. I don't necessarily buy that that's what's going to seal the deal.
You don't think it's a commercial for how far along they are and how close they are with star power?
Because here's my thought on it. The Yankees are in town, and huge Yankee fans like Ryan are going to go to the game anyhow.
Yeah, Ryan already has tickets,
right?
Shocker.
He and his roommate,
has not been to Nats Park in 3 months. He'll be there for the Yankee series twice.
But like, he's all about the Yankees. He's like DuVolpe, and like yelling at me about Oswaldo Cabrera. So you could have sold more tickets to the Colorado series. Was Dylan Cruz... he wouldn't be ready on Thursday, but he had to be ready on Monday? I don't know about that. It feels purposeful.
I think he would have been called up on Monday if they were playing the Yankees or Boston or the Rockies or the Diamondbacks. My understanding has been all along, after they got to a certain point, they then wanted to make sure he was not going to get enough at-bats to...
take away rookie of the year possibility?
Lose next his year. Rookie status next year. Because if he were to win the Rookie of the Year award next year, they could get a draft pick as compensation, as a reward for that. So that's part of it. One of the things that they also said about James Wood when they called him up was that they wanted him to get about 200 at-bats at AAA, which I'd never heard them talk about before, but they said that with James Wood, and I don't think it's a coincidence. Dylan Cruz surpassed the 200 at-bat mark this week, which is when I kind of started going, okay, well, they've mentioned this 200 at-bat thing. Now we're here. He can't get past the Rookie of the Year status. What else would you be waiting for to call him up at this point? John's in Centerville on Grant and Danny. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Happy birthday, Danny.
Thank you, buddy.
Just want to say goosebumps and chill bumps, also called goose pimples.
I've heard that.
Goose pimples?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yes, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever read those R.L. Stein books? I think it was called Chill Bumps.
Yeah, the scary ones,
yeah,
right? They were accessible for kids?
Yeah, when you were a kid, like sixth grade, you could just read through them. It had a big font.
Chill Bumps.
Chill Bumps was a good
book.
You
drive, the one guy's driving home, and somebody's flashing the bright lights at him from behind, and he's like, what's this guy's deal? And it turns out there was someone in the backseat. You know, Chill Bumps.
Definitely. Santana Moss joins us next, longtime receiver here in D.C. What does he make of the Jahan Dotson deal? We will hear from him at 4 o'clock. We've got tickets to Jason Aldean, only on Grant and Danny. Danny, I'm sure you've heard this thing that the kids say now. I was today years old when
they love that bit.
Yeah. I was today years old when I learned speed bumps and speed humps are both real things.
I thought I was going crazy because I realized when you rightly called that out, because I called something a speed hump.
I just never heard it in my life.
My little soliloquy. And I'm like, I know I've seen that somewhere. I've been saying speed hump lately. And it's because it's true. There are speed humps all over the place, close to where we are in Northern Virginia. On the roads. So your speed bump is your parking lot. You're yellow. You got to be going like 3 or 4 miles an hour.
I feel like those are super tall.
Yeah, they're taller.
Taller. They're yellow. If you go over them fast, you're bottoming out.
It's like, dun, dun, like you hear it. It hits me hard. The speed hump, you can hit it about 15. That's probably your max. You probably want to be about 10 to 12.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Longer.
Longer.
Less girth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, yeah, but wider too somehow.
Also, yes.
You know what I mean?
Not as tall.
Right.
But, like, where they start and where they stop is definitely a wider...
And they're still both good. I mean, they're still both good and deserve happiness. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about the motion of the speed bump?
Right.
I thought you were just saying...
The wrong word.
Not even that you were wrong. I thought you just said it differently. Like, some family, some people... I'll give you an example. I'd never heard this before, but this is a real thing that a lot of people say. So, when you hear something that makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, you get...
Goosebumps?
Right. There are people who say chill bumps.
No, they're not. No, that's not true.
100% they're
not. No, they're not.
Chill bumps?
No.
You've never heard of that?
No.
Well, I definitely have.
Where do they say that?
I think they're in the South. When I initially heard it, it was definitely a thing where people are like, with an accent?
Yeah, sure,
typically.
Sure.
You know when I first heard it? This is actually a wacky story that makes no sense. So years ago, I was doing a baseball show on Sirius XM, and I found this hilarious clip of these two kids calling Henry Aaron's record-breaking home run to move ahead of Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
It was home run number 716 or 715.
17, yeah.
I don't know if it was it must have been his record breaker, 715. And anyway, in their call, they said, he's got chill bumps. I still remember it. And I'm like, what in the hell did this
kid
just say?
What is a chill bump?
And then I looked it up, and sure enough, it's another way to say goosebumps. So that's...
Wow.
I didn't mean to blow your mind, but...
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that.
When you went...
Speed hump.
Speed hump, I thought that was your speed bump.
Oh.
Like the Rouillets call them speed humps.
Yeah, like the southern side of my family's like, I was going a little too fast over that speed hump.
So I'm pulling it up here. Goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
Also known as chill bumps.
Come on.
That's what it says.
Also known as.
Are bumps like it's an on alias. The skin that occur when tiny muscles in the hair follicles contract and pull that hair up tight. Chill bumps.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm not going to be saying chill bumps anytime soon.
I don't know that I could.
That just sounds weird to me.
Like, I heard a Dylan Cruz is going to the show. I got chill bumps. Nope. Wrong.
I do kind of have goosebumps about that.
I'm excited about that, but I don't have any chill bumps.
Do
say
you
that.
Think it's a strategic play in any way?
Yes.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
To have Dylan Cruz come up against the Yankees?
Yeah, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Juan Soto's back for the first time?
Uh-huh.
As a Yankee. Uh-huh. He's been back with the Padres, obviously. But it's the first time they've been far enough along in the rebuild where he's going to be in the ballpark and he sees MVP-caliber star James Wood, playing in left.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to see Dylan Cruz, who could play center. In a hypothetical where Juan Soto, who's a free agent this offseason, could sign back in Washington to play right field, this could be a Mike Rizzo taking off his tie, unbuttoning his, you know, sleeves and saying, hey, Juan, these could be the two guys you play with in the outfield for the next 12 years to end your career if you want to. You buying it at all?
Here's the thing. I don't necessarily buy that that's what's going to seal the deal.
You don't think it's a commercial for how far along they are and how close they are with star power?
Because here's my thought on it. The Yankees are in town, and huge Yankee fans like Ryan are going to go to the game anyhow.
Yeah, Ryan already has tickets,
right?
Shocker.
He and his roommate, you know.
Has not been to Nats Park in 3 months. He'll be there for the Yankee series twice.
But, like, he's all about the Yankees. He's like DuVolpe, and, like, yelling at me about Oswaldo Cabrera. So you could have sold more tickets to the Colorado series. Was Dylan Cruz, what, he wouldn't be ready on Thursday, but he had to be ready on Monday? I don't know about that. It feels purposeful.
I think he would have been called up on Monday if they were playing the Yankees or Boston or the Rockies or the Diamondbacks. My understanding has been all along, after they got to a certain point, they then wanted to make sure he was not going to get enough at-bats to
take away rookie of the year possibility,
lose his rookie status next year. Because if he were to win the rookie of the year award next year, they could get a draft pick as compensation, as a reward for that. So that's part of it. One of the things that they also said about James Wood when they called him up was that they wanted him to get about 200 at-bats at AAA, which I'd never heard them talk about before. But they said that with James Wood, and I don't think it's a coincidence. Dylan Cruz surpassed the 200 at-bat mark this week, which is when I kind of started going, okay, well, they've mentioned this 200 at-bat thing. Now we're here. He can't get past the rookie of the year status. What else would you be waiting for to call him up at this point? John's in Centerville on Grant and Danny. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Happy birthday, Danny.
Thank you, buddy.
I just want to say Goosebumps and Chill Bumps, also called Goose Pimples.
I've heard that.
Goose Pimples?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yes, that's
sir.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever read those R.L. Stine books? I think it was called Chill Bumps.
Yeah, the scary ones,
yeah,
right?
They
but
like,
they were accessible for kids.
Yeah, when you were a kid, you like sixth grade, you could just read through them at a big font.
Chill Bumps.
Chill Bumps was a good
one.
Like,
you know, you drive, one guy's driving home and somebody's flashing the bright lights at him from behind, and he's like, what's this guy's deal? And it turns out there was someone in the back seat. You know, Chill Bumps.
Definitely. Santana Moss joins us next, longtime receiver here in D.C. What does he make of the Jahan Dotson deal? We will hear from him at 4 o'clock. We've got tickets to Jason Aldean only on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.